This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
Starting this weekend, anyone making minimum wage in Maryland, Oregon, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. will see their pay go up. The minimum wage scale is complicated. At the federal level, it's $7.25 an hour. Then some states have their own minimums, and on top of that, some cities have theirs. And we're going to get into this in a moment. But first, let's hear from two low-wage workers in different parts of the country and different ends of the minimum wage scale, starting in a state with no minimum wage law.
My name is Tanya Harrell. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I currently work at the McDonald's. I make $8 an hour. Me and my boyfriend are raising a three-year-old. He makes $4 on July 5th. I'm mostly supporting our child. I will work myself more than I am supposed to be worked. And I stress a little bit more when I can't, you know, help myself a little bit more, and I'm always helping others. I have a grandmother that I have to take care of, and when she can't get her medicine, I help her. And then I can't even afford to take care of my two little sisters that's in foster care. And, like, that's, like, the main reason of why I work so hard. With the $8 an hour, I need, like, $8 an hour is still not enough, even though I went from $7.25, $7.50 all the way up to $8. It's still not enough. It's just, like, my paycheck still be, like, $400-something, and that's still not enough for rent because, like, now a one-bedroom is, like, $600. But working fast food come with a lot of stress and a lot of wrong intentions to some people. And it's not enough how we work so, like, people like me work so hard just to make ends meet. I'm not going to say I like it. At the moment, it's not the best that I can do. But at the moment, it's just that I have to not settle for it, but I have to deal with certain things, and then I also have to do better than what I'm doing. The first thing I'm going to do is going back to school. When I finish that, it's like I could defeat any test that comes my way.
The story in Los Angeles is very different from New Orleans. The local minimum wage is $10.50 an hour, which is going up to $12 this weekend, which means a raise for our next guest.
My name is Ajadet Solis. I am 21 years old, and I go to Fullerton Community College. I currently live in Whittier, California. I am a hostess at IHOP of the International House of Pancakes. I currently make $10.50 an hour. I have a five-year-old brother who's starting school in August, and I have a nine-month-old sister. My mother is currently not working, so I help her with any necessities that either my mom needs or either that my brother and my sister need. So it's like baby formula, baby food, clothes. This would be the only semester that I skip out on going to school because I don't have enough money. My money I spend on paying my car insurance, gas, my phone bill, basic grocery stuff like milk, cereal. I managed to make ends meet. I honestly don't know how. What it's like to work on a minimum wage is constantly receiving harassment from customers who are belittling you, who don't think that you can comprehend something simple. A lot of the times management doesn't take time to actually make you feel safe. It's hard. It gets hard, and it's super frustrating because I have all these bills to pay. I have, you know, my two siblings to take care of. My main concern is them, regardless if they aren't my children exactly. I love my job. I love talking to people and to customers, and it's also hard at the same time. But even just like the little, you know, $1.50 raise, it does make a difference.
Just two stories of life on minimum wage. But for more on how it works and the history behind it, we have Gary Burtless, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
We have all these arguments about numbers, but I want to go even broader. From a philosophical standpoint, what is the minimum wage for when we think about it kind of collectively? I mean, is it for an entry-level worker or is it for someone who is working a job and supporting a couple of kids? Who did we design this for?
My suspicion is that when the minimum wage was introduced at the national level, which was in the late 1930s, what the Roosevelt administration had in mind was a wage high enough to support a family, possibly with one or two kids. But as the labor force has expanded over the last several decades, we now have families with multiple wage earners. And some of those wage earners are under 20 or 25 years old and are not the main support of the family. About 10% of the people who are less than 20 and are in the workforce are paid the minimum wage. And for people past 25, it's a lot less than that. Maybe one out of every 50 workers past age 25 is earning the minimum wage. So the notion that the minimum wage ought to be high enough to support a family with a couple of youngsters is probably not describing what the situation is for the most part for minimum wage workers today.
Well, if a city council or a state government or the federal government is thinking about changes to the minimum wage, who should they be designing it for?
Well, I think it probably is a mistake to set the minimum wage at a level that is high enough so that a single wage earner by himself or herself can support a family consisting of four people. Now, of course, many people earning the minimum wage are supporting dependents, and I think that there's an obligation, a social obligation, to ensure that that person after taxes is earning enough so that they can comfortably support a family. But that doesn't mean that the minimum wage by itself is the only policy tool that voters should look at to accomplish that goal. We should also think about earning supplements, for example, and under the earned income credit, or supplements to top up the amount of food that families can consume if they have low wage earnings.
We heard different portraits of what it is like to make minimum wage, but I guess I want to back up for a second because really there is no such thing as minimum wage in the way we throw it around in conversation, right?
Well, a lot of states have a minimum wage that's higher than the federal minimum wage, and even within the same state, the minimum wage may differ from one jurisdiction to the next. But every state does have a minimum wage, if only the one that is established by the federal government.
Why does it vary so much?
Well, a lot of jurisdictions are more liberal than the United States Congress has been in recent years, and they feel that as wage levels in general have risen and the cost of living has increased, the lowest paid workers in their states or in their jurisdictions deserve pay raises. And also when voters are given the choice of lifting the local minimum wage, they frequently do so. Popular sentiment favors minimum wage increases more than almost any other policy that the government could pursue that lifts the incomes of low-income working families.
Yes, wage increases have been popular with voters in a lot of places, but you get pushback from, say, small business owners, people who are afraid that, you know, this is going to hurt their ability to hire people, hurt their ability to pay workers. What do you say to that?
Well, I agree with that. I think it's valid. The question is, at what point do we think lifting the minimum wage starts to do more damage? And at what stage does the harm begin to offset the benefits to low-wage workers of earning higher hourly pay?
I want to ask you about Seattle. Seattle has moved towards raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour. And there's a study out this week from the National Bureau of Economic Research. And, you know, this study said that the average low-wage worker in Seattle lost $125 a month because of the hike in the minimum wage. When you see that, what does it tell you? Do you say, ooh, maybe they went too far because they, you know, are actually hurting workers? Or is it we don't know yet?
I haven't read the study yet. I've only read summaries of the study, so I don't think I'm in a very good position to offer a critique of the statistical validity of the finding. Some low-wage workers have been hurt by being given fewer hours of work and have seen their weekly earnings fall instead of improve. That is possible. And in fact, I think that most rational and observant labor economists would say that that's always a possibility if you raise the minimum wage too high.
You know, since 2009, the federal minimum wage has nominally remained the same. if you adjust it for inflation, it's fallen a little bit. Should there be a national minimum wage hike in this economy?
Yes, I favor boosting the minimum wage. I think that raising it in steps to $10.50 an hour, which is more or less what President Obama proposed, is a judicious increase, and I am very skeptical that the employment losses or hours of work losses would be very large in the current environment.
Gary Bertlis, economist at the Brookings Institution, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love your feedback on the show, and we asked our followers on Facebook to tell us how they feel about minimum wage. Deanie Good in Overland Park, Kansas said, "Inflation of the price of everything is all it ever causes." Kevin Green said, "As a business owner, minimum wage does two things. Number one, at least in California, payroll tax basically doubles the cost to employers. And number two, as the cost of labor rises, the incentive to automate tasks increases." And Tom Hendricks in Dallas asked us not to forget about theater workers, who he says are paid the lowest wages and benefits allowed by law. We encourage your comments, and you can email us anytime, weekend@marketplace.org. And while you're writing to us, why not sign up for the newsletter? Just do that by also going to marketplace.org.